one of the one of the key elements. That we have in Parsha Tetzaveh is a description of the Bitei Kohuna that B'nai Yisrael had to create in order that the Kohanim should properly serve in the Mishkan. The Gemara in Masechet Zvachim on Daf Peched makes the following comment. Why are the karbanos mentioned next to the description of the Big Day Kahuna? Tell us that just like karbanos bring about kapara, so too the Big Day Kahuna bring about kapara. And the Gemara goes on to discuss what each of the bigodim of the Kohanim was Mechapera. And in that discussion, the Gemara says that the Me'il is Mechapera Lashon Hara. The Kohen Gadol wore a special Me'il, a Pcheles, that had on it at the bottom, Pa'amonim, Verimonim. It had bells and things in the shape of pomegranates, not real pomegranates, but in the shape of pomegranates. And the meal was mechaper on Lashon Hara. So the Gemara says, Minayin, how do we know this? Amar Rabbi Chanina, Yavo Dover Shebakol, V'yechaper al kol hara. So it's something that makes noise, because the bell makes noise, should be mechaper on the noise of Lashon Hara, on the sound of Lashon Hara. So the Gemara says, the Rabban Zatzal, Shishuvim Torah V'Das, if what was so special, not so much about the Me'il, but the Me'il was worn by the Kohen Gadol, what was so special about the Kohen Gadol? That when he wore the Me'il, he would be able to be Mechater on Lashon Hara. And he says as follows. What's one of the major root causes of Lashon Hara? Why do people speak Lashon Hara? And very often, Lashon Hara comes about because of jealousy. People are jealous of the other person. They sometimes feel inferior to the other person. They feel bad that the other person has something that they don't have. So what they try to do is put down the other person. And if I speak Lashon Hara and I put down, and I can put him down and I can say he's not so great and he has tzaras and this is bad about him and that's bad about him, then that makes me feel good. And because of Tina, we often need Lashon Hara. Who was the first, the prototype of all Kohanim Gedolim? Obviously Aaron HaKohen. What do we know about Aaron HaKohen? So we know something about Aaron HaKohen that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know. For 7 days, Moshe Rabbeinu is by Har Sinai, by HaKoreh, by the Sneh, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling him he has to go and lead Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. And for 7 days, Moshe Rabbeinu is hesitating. And he has all sorts of reasons why he shouldn't go. And finally, the last reason that he gives, which may have been ultimately the whole reason why he didn't want to go, Moshe Rabbeinu turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he says, Vayomer biyad Hashem, shlach na biyad tishlach. Send the one that he usually sends. Who is he referring to? Says Rashi, "Biyad Misha Tarogi Lishloach Vuhu Aharon." Send Aharon. Moshe Rabbeinu hasn't been in Mitzrayim for decades, many decades. Who has been the de facto, unofficial leader of Am Yisrael? Who has been guiding them all these years? After Amram passed away, Because Amram was the god of Adar, Aram took off. And Aram was already a Navi. And Aram was guiding the Bnei Israel. Aram was Moshe Rabbeinu's older brother. Aram is the one who should take over. Don't send me. What will Aram feel if he finds out that I come, that I've been chosen? Because Bohu gets angry at Moshe Rabbeinu. Vayichar af Hashem b'Moshe. Vayomer halo Aaron achicha halevi yadati ki daber yedaberhu v'gami hinehu yotzei likrasecha v'ra'acha b'samach b'libo. You don't know, Aaron. When Aaron finds out that you've been chosen b'samach b'libo, not only will he be happy, he'll really be happy. It won't only be outward happiness. He'll be truly happy, believer, that you've been chosen. There won't be an ounce of jealousy. Why are you so worried about that? Aaron is the last person to be jealous. With all that we know about sibling rivalry, it doesn't affect Aaron. He who's that, the son of believer. If that's the culture, doesn't have an ounce of jealousy towards his younger brother, then he is somebody who truly, when he wears the neo, can be mechaper on Lashon Hara. Haman turns to Achashverosh, and he has a plan. He wants to get rid of all the Jews. He says to Achashverosh, Yeshno am echad mefuzar u'mefura bein amis. And when he tells Achashverosh that there's this nation that's very divided, that's very spread out, the gzeira is sealed. And Achashverosh hands over his signet, his ring, and he says, do with them what you want to. And why in Shemayim do they allow this to happen? So the Mepharshim point out, because Bnei Yisrael are Mefuzar and Mefura. Because we're so divided. And when we're so divided, this is what could happen. And when Mordechai turns to Esther, and the instructor, he commands her that now is the time that she has to go to Achashverosh. And finally Esther takes hold of the situation, and she in turn turns to Mordechai and tells him what he needs to do. The first thing she says to him is, Lech Kenoset Kalayim. You have to gather everyone together. Because if we're going to be Mefuzar and Mefura Bein Anim, then we're subject to Haman and Achashverosh. And if we want HaKadosh Baruch Hu to save us, then we need Lech Kenoset Kalayim. There are many, many needles that we can work on all year long. Because none of us is perfect. And I think that the midah of the month, I don't know if in school you used to have the midah of the month, but I think the midah of the month of Adar is to work on this Mefuzar and Mefura, Mefuzar and Mefura. To work on the kina that is so divisive amongst us, which creates the Lashon Hara. That's what Esther is telling us. It's fine, Lech Kenoset Kalei Yehudim. We have a week, depending on which city you live in, less than a week. To put it. We need to work on it. We can work at it on an individual level. Because there's so much that goes on, you're living in a dorm situation. And 70 girls all on top of each other. And everybody knows everything, and everybody can talk about everything. You start wondering, this one got this job, and this one got accepted here, and this one got that scholarship, and this one here. And it can easily lead to change. When you can step back for a moment and you think about it, you know, there's nothing to gain from it. It's just so destructive, self-destructive. You know, this. People use the expression, it's eating me up. And it's true. It eats us up. And we don't gain from it. What do I gain
What do I lose? Somebody else, something good happens. The Aaron says, Moshe Rabbeinu was chosen, great! He was chosen because he must have been deserving of it. Does that make Aaron any less? It says, I have my tzatzi, Moshe has his tzatzi. I'm happy for him. You have to learn to be happy for other people. It doesn't hurt. Smile costs nothing. That's only outwardly. But we need to work on the samach v'libach. That's only the individual. And a little bit more on the communalist. Doing B'nai B'rach for Shabbat. And for many of you, people in B'nai B'rach are people who live in a different kind of society than you're used to. I'm not here to tell you it's better. I'm not here to tell you it's worse. In many ways, it was different. And you can walk away from a Shabbat home in B'nai B'rach, and you can concentrate on everything that you didn't like. You know, that woman said this, and that person said that, and I can't believe they did this thing, and that thing looks silly, and this is ridiculous. No society is perfect. That's one way to walk away. It's walking away with a sense of kingdom, a sense of Lashon Hara. You can walk away differently. You can walk away and appreciate that segment of society has to offer. That doesn't mean that they're better. That doesn't mean that you have to join them. It doesn't mean you have to sign up to become a business of Hasid because you like the fish. But you can come along and say, that's nice. That was beautiful. That was interesting. Now maybe I understand a little bit more of their position, of their ideology, of the way of life. What does it cost? Because I appreciate their way of life, that means that I'm bad, and I'm inferior? Different strokes for different folks. There can be Ashkenazi, there can be Sardis, there can be Hasidim, there can be Nitaim, Nisnazim, there can be Haredim, there can be Datid Lumim. We should learn to appreciate what everybody has. I don't know what Rabbi Haber is going to talk about this. But after whatever discussions we have, discussions of appreciating, that doesn't mean that every single thing that you saw and every single thing that was said, you should say, oh, that was good, that was fine, okay. Sometimes certain things may have been said that were wrong. Certain things can go on if you don't understand, or you do understand and you think that that's the wrong way to handle it. It could be. Why do we always need to concentrate on the negative? Why can't we concentrate on the positive? Why can't we concentrate a little bit to try to be a little bit like Aaron HaKohen? To be happy for others. Not to be involved in things. To appreciate what Esther tells us, what Esther knows is telling us. And when we do that, when we gather together just a little bit, even though we do it, then and only then can we be zocha to like Yehuda Marisa, all of the Simcha, the Sassam, the Yikar.